All right, questions.
I have a question.
Yes.
And I think I got it straight, but could you go over anyway? And anyway, Romans 2, 14 through 16.
So Romans 2. Yes, as soon as my Bible opens. If somebody else wants to read it while I'm opening up this, you can. There it is.
You got it?
Yeah, but my Bible's open. I have a very old...
So what you have on the paper is it's under the caption that spirit is what gives morals even without knowledge of God or the law. Okay. And the scripture is, indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law, even though they do not have the law, since they show that the requirements of the law are without, are written on their hearts. Their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares.
So what this is showing us is man knew of God from the beginning. Man always knew God. And the only reason why the Israelites were picked because of Abraham, nothing any special, it was the promise he made, but that was still an example for all man. But man has the concept of God, or else we'd be killing. I know we kill, but not as much as we would. We'd be much crazier than what it was. There's something that morally keeps us so we haven't already completely destroyed ourselves. Now, the flesh part is what makes us that we do destroy ourselves and we're so separated. But what he's showing here is for those people who choose not to accept the grace that we need, that's going to be the thing when it's reasoned and asked, okay, what have you done? That's why it says, since they show the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. This will take place on the day when God judges men's secret thought, secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. It's an understanding that man knows. We just like to force the stuff that we know, but we rather do. Once again, desires get in the way of that. So man has the understanding of what's right and what's wrong. You know what I mean? The question comes up, where do you draw the line in certain questions? And God is that line. But a lot of times, since we don't want it, we've allowed our desires to push what we already know away. So the knowledge part, it's not what we're lacking. You know, when they ate from the tree of wisdom and knowledge, the problem is they got it. It's just man couldn't deal with it. You know what I mean? What that movie say? They couldn't deal with the truth. And that's what man has been doing. Man knows it. Man can't really deal with it. And that's why it was never meant for us to have it. It was us to just allow him to guide us in truth. But we've been there ever since. So man knows the answer. We just keep messing it up.
Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, when it said about the Gentiles, the law was given to the Jews, but this is saying that everybody knows because it's written on our hearts.
They everybody has that understanding. Because remember, there was even a section of time between Adam and Moses before, you know, that there was no law given. You remember that? But they were still sinning. How? You know what I mean? That's what he's showing, because there's that concept and that understanding. I think it's Romans 15 that even hints towards that. Of we know what's right and wrong, but we like, you know, the loopholes. We like to get away what we can get away with. So we start curbing and changing things, excuse me. So, and that's where man is. But that's why I'm saying, when judgment comes, he's given us every chance, he's given us an out, he's given us the power. Anybody who ends up going to hell, they chose it. And so that's why he's making that very clear to us.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Other questions?
Yes, I have a question. Hello.
Hello.
Ecclesiastes 10:2, and so it says a wise man's heart. Wait a minute. is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Yep. So what does that have to do with the direction of where the heart is, whether it's to the right or the left?
These are just symbols. So this is like sometimes certain numbers in the Bible mean something, like the, you know, the number seven is that number of perfection. The three is the completeness. So it's not knocking it. And we don't want to read, we want to just understand when he uses right and left. And that's why he says, when Jesus returns, the righteous are going to go to his right and the other ones are going to go to his left. Sometimes they use colors in the same way. They use white and they use black and stuff like that. These are just symbols to represent something. It's not, don't look at it as it's marking these. It's just the symbols that they're using. So when he says that the wise inclines to the right, he's stressing the fact of that the wise person's purpose is always going to be to the right way. Even though he's using right, you hate to use that term right and left and all that, but, and the left is always used as a negative in it, as his symbol in his word. That's all that means.
Okay. And when I was listening to the Order My Steps,
mm-hmm.
when you were talking about Titus 1, 15, 16, I don't know why I get so confused by what you were saying. Is the scripture about the detestable and disobedient? They're unfit for doing anything good.
Yep.
And I was asking, this is not talking about people who love the Lord, but are scripturally lacking understanding because of their indoctrination or a certain denomination. So I got confused. I don't know why something you were saying when you were teaching it, it made me think that were you talking about people who were ignorant or not understanding the word, are they in that group as well?
Yes. Okay. See, I think the confusion comes in there because they sound, the words sound insulting. And I don't know if you, and in the Order of My Steps, that's what I was trying to clear up. Sometimes we take this stuff personal as a hit against our character instead of realizing, no, if I'm going the wrong way, even if I don't mean to go the wrong way, and you get in my car, I'm a danger to you because I'm going the wrong way. And that's why he's stressing to us, to the pure, all things are pure. So it's not, hey, what I want to be, when God already gives me what I need to be. So the pure is that person who just follows God. Unfortunately, we have more unpure. Even though they don't mean to be, they still are. And that's what he's, so he's letting you know. And this is why it's not good for us when we give insult and stuff like that, because we do it to hurt people. You understand this. What he's given to us is, this is your outcome. This is what you become when you do this. So when he says to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted, in other words, they allow either not to read the entire Bible and follow it or to add to it. He's saying, and do not believe, he says nothing is pure. And it sounds like he's hitting them, but he's letting you know this is the path you're in. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupt. He was like, you can't trust anything that comes from them because they're allowing themselves to be corrupted and the things they're doing is corrupted. It says they claim to know God. So their wording is saying one thing, but their actions, they deny him. In other words, you're watching them go the wrong way. I know what I'm doing. You ever know somebody, once again, meaning well, they mean well, and they'll say, I know what I'm doing, but you watch them do it wrong, but they mean well, you know what I mean? And this is where we have to get away from meaning well and we need to be well. That's why when he ends it with, they are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good, why does he add that line? First of all, we usually hits us as insult. Instead of us realizing, no, what he's saying is, I'm giving you the answer and you still choose not to do that. So meaning well is one thing, but disobedience is huge. Remember when we asked the question, somebody asked the question, I guess, a couple of weeks ago on what did he mean by disobedience is the same as idolatry and witchcraft and so on and so forth. It's the same way. Oh, if we were just obedient, the word says this is what I'm doing. That's what he's saying. You can mean well and still not follow what he says. Why? You know what I mean? Just do what I say. So he's letting you know, it's just as dangerous. Meaning is meaningless if I just don't do what he says, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but then it just still makes me wonder about, like, you know, people I know personally, mm-hmm. who maybe were in my old church or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're talking, they believe, you know, the scripture is saying X, Y, and Z. And but you teaching that is saying something, when the Bible is teaching that it's saying something different than what they're understanding to mean. Like one of my friends said, you know, I'm a diehard word of faith.
Right.
And she get upset with me because, you know, I'm saying something different than what she's saying or believing something that she's saying, because I used to believe the same way.
Yep.
So it makes me wonder if that, if the people that think like that, they think that the scripture is interpreted correctly by what they study the Bible, they pray, you know, all that stuff, but they still have that same understanding that they're in that.
So, and it's good you said that. One thing you have to understand, if we truly say we study the Bible, we do what it says, there's two verses that makes it very clear. First of all, a couple of verses, but I'm going to give you two just to kind of show you what I mean on this. And this is why even I try to warn, you know, who I, when I preach, to make sure we're following this. But if you look at, I think it's Timothy. So if we go to First Thessalonians 5, look at that first. So 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, very clearly says, test what?
Everything.
And hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. Simple. It's a very simple, and once again, so I'm studying the Bible. Once again, that's one thing it's given me. Second thing, if we go to 1 John. Was it 2? First John 4:1. And it makes once again very clear. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, we call ourselves Bible studiers, and we see somebody, and this is one of other ones that kind of show us, if we're really studying the Bible, what our responsibilities are. And that's what God is saying. He was like, just do what I say. What tends to happen is, I know we like to play the victim of, I'm really trying. But our trying is usually based on self when we have instructions here. Now, I know some may even be told, well, they were told to follow the minister and not follow the Bible, or they get a version that they can't understand. And I get all that, and we got to pray about that. But that's what God is trying to show you. If they mean well, and then they'll start making up these concepts and these doctrines and these things that are dangerous and dangerous to other people, even though the Bible itself is saying, check it. Make sure you check what that person is preaching and use the Bible. There's other verses show us that the Bible is what interprets the Bible. And so the point of it is, I hear what you're saying, and try not to get to where you look at them and go, man, it's speaking of so many people. Because we have to even understand, people who are not Christians in their own mindset are doing what they think is best. You remember, I mean, they mean well. Most of them mean well, you know what I mean? Other than a group maybe of Satanists or whatever like that, most of them are worshiping because they think they're doing something good, and it's an ignorant thing that's dangerous. And what God is just saying, it's a dangerous place, and this is why, first of all, our lives must minister the truth to guide them to the truth. But be careful, because you're right. When you read it, it feels very insulting to people that you may see as sincere people that mean well. And that's where Satan wants to get you, to make you feel and then give them a pass, which we've done. We've done that even with Christians. You know, we've given them, well, they mean well and they love God, so they're going to heaven. The problem is, what if you're wrong? And all this time you're giving them a pass instead of ministering to them. And then when it's time, they go, Lord, and he goes, I never knew you. That's a huge part our fault. So that's where we have to look at it. Instead of it being an insult, we need to look at it as a warning.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Yep. Other questions?
I have one.
Yeah.
I was listening to a pastor this morning, and he was talking about the state of our nation and how I wrote down we as a nation were made to look like a fool, but as Christians, we should be glad because the world is being set up for the Antichrist to be destroyed. Spiritual believers should be rejoicing. This is a sign of the Lord, but Christians have been hearing watered down messages saying our relationships with God is to get from him, not to have a perfect relationship with him. So that's why we are feeling like what's going on in the world is affecting us.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that? I don't know. He used Mark 4,
okay,
17, 18, and 19 to kind of support that.
Okay.
What do you get from that?
Well, to go not get deep into his teaching because I didn't get to hear the whole thing, but the concept he's kind of saying is true, and I say kind of, because as Christians, what we have done kind of wrong is, well, let me read the one verse. If you go to James 4, and you hear me go over this over and over again, and this is why the collapse of a nation or what we see in the world is so important to us as Christians. When he starts in James 4, starting in verse 4, and he starts off with, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy to God," is what we've almost been dabbling in. So I don't know about the thing of for the Antichrist and all that other stuff and that setting up. I see where he's kind of getting with that, but what we have done is we've almost made like United States sacred, and other countries have made their country sacred, and some people have made their culture sacred, and nowhere did God ever do that. And we've done it to a fault to where we almost love our country in the same line as we love God. And God's like, no, your country is heaven. You need to come here as strangers and aliens to minister to people to get them out, because I'm going to destroy America as much as I'm going to destroy Russia, China, so on and so forth. And that's the whole key. I think a lot of us have embraced our country and our culture instead of realizing he's saying, no, it's part of the world. That's why also in 1 John, it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what all of this really comes down to, when I think sometimes what the ministers are trying to do is they're first trying to make it as if somehow United States was some Christian nation. And I'm sorry, if y'all really did and look back in history, it has not been, never was. It wasn't founded on Christian principles. I know you may have been told that. If you really looked in true history, you see it was not. In fact, the Christian part that we may see today didn't start coming out until like the 1950s, believe it or not. Okay, because when they came here, there were different groups. Okay, there was some Christian groups, don't get me wrong, that came from, Europe and other places, but there was also groups who didn't want anything to do with Christianity. And, and some were that were called deists. In fact, most of the people that signed our Declaration of Independence were that. They believed in a higher power, but they had other thoughts. In fact, most of them were not Christian. And we want that feeling, that romanticized of it, and it put us in it, but it put us in a danger where we became friends with the world, and then in turn becoming enemies to God. So the bigger danger is how we've embraced our culture over our Christianity. And we almost made the two the same. And that's why this crashing everything we've seen, Christians shouldn't be surprised. Christians should have gone, that's the world. Why you see Christians so heartbroken is because we were embracing the world almost equal to God. I think some people really think when he returns, he's going to take America and put it in a bubble and raise it and then destroy the whole world and put America down because we're so wholesome, only to find out we're in the same line as Sodom and Gomorrah in many cases. You know what I mean? And if you read Ezekiel, I think it's 46, where it talks about what their true sin was. It wasn't just the sodomy. It wasn't just the sexual sin, which was included in it, but it was also their arrogance. It was also how they treated the poor. It was also how they were overfed. And I mean, it fits us. So I think what the spiritual awakening part that is so important for us is not how it's setting up for the Antichrist. It's hopefully for Christians to go, wait a minute, this embracing of the world, I shouldn't have been doing in the first place. I got to be a stranger and an alien ministering to it, even in this country. Does that help?
Yep. Yep. Thank you.
Absolutely. Other questions? So before we get to the lesson, I just wanted to end on that. I think that's a good note to end on, because with all the stuff going on, you have some people that's really hitting emotionally, and it just shows, because for our relationship, we do want to pray for this nation as well as other nations, but pray for them in the right way. Pray for them in line with God. As Sister Carolyn was saying, some people usually pray for our nation based on how we think the nation should be in God, instead of looking at what God says about how we should be praying for the nation. And when he says, do not love the world or anything in the world, sometimes we spend a lot of time trying to fix a world that he told us not to love. And that's where we that's where we can waste our time by ignoring what he said. Let's spend more time being that light in the world to guide others to Christ. Time is short, and you know, people are being misled daily by so many other things. Let's make sure we're not part of the reason they're being misled by embracing things that are not of God. And that's my commentary for today. So